Well, hello there, friends, foes, enemies, men, women, children, bisexuals, pansexuals, and the newest one we just found out about, Kayvon sexuals. Put in the comments if that's you. This is not the Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Ellen, Jimmy Corden, Jimmy Oprah show. Oh no, you're watching The Right Show. Today, we find out what it looks like when the WNBA dunks their badonky donk. Has Gen Z taken rock and roll from the Hall of Fame to the Hall of Lame? Should kids be able to choose their own brand new genders? And are America's biggest cities completely ruined by the radical left? We discuss all that and more right here on Valuetainment Presents The Right Show. All right, my question of the day for you is, where are you from and what is your favorite animal? Let's kick this thing off with something a little bit of levity, if you will, to start this show off right. This guy showed you what it's like to have dinner with various animals in the zoo. Take a look. How did the person sitting across from him not start laughing during that ridiculous stunt? I'll never know. We have protesters currently in the Capitol. I don't know if you know this or not. Now, these are not Trump protesters. They're not patriots. They don't love America. We have, and we're going to show it on the screen right here, none other than Palestinian protesters who are supporting, Palestine. What makes it very interesting is the Capitol has been overrun, they're stopping business from taking place, and they are basically not able to get their job done. Didn't we see that just like on January 6th? Wasn't that called the worst terrorist insurrection ever? Well, we're about to find out right now. Take a look at the video.
Capitol police officers say roughly 300 people have just been arrested during these demonstrations at the U.S. Capitol.
This comes at a moment of really high tensions in the region, particularly after that strike on a hospital in Gaza just yesterday. This was a demonstration that started on the National Mall and eventually made its way here to the Capitol with, as you can see, dozens, if not hundreds, of demonstrators who made it inside the rotunda.
Liberal members of Congress addressed this crowd earlier in saying that they are on the right side of history. It does speak to the kind of emotional climate around the war between Hamas and Israel and how it's spilling over here in the U.S. in the Capitol. But it's not unusual at the same time to also see various groups with various interests protesting peacefully in Washington, D.C.
Members are, you know, many of them have offices there in the Cannon House office building and might have been making their way back to their offices or, you know, leaving their offices. But obviously, this has kind of upended things as far as, potential members' plans, which is why we saw that advisory go out to really trying to get this situation under control and trying to close down the Cannon office building to outside visitors and traffic.
There appear to be police or security officials kind of standing by and around this group, allowing them to continue their demonstration.
Can you see the spin going on there? You could tell that the newscasters are favorable to what's going on, so it's not like it was on January 6th. Oh my gosh, get the guns, shoot the ones that aren't listening. Let's call this the biggest terrorist act of our life since 9/11. Oh no, some of the words she used were, "That's mostly peaceful. There's high tensions after what's going on." She said there was a strike on a Gaza hospital. There was no strike on the hospital. It's already been proven that those were rockets that came from Gaza and misfired and hit a parking lot. They immediately said, oh, there's 500 kids that were, you know, passed away from that. But then they're like, how did you know 500 within 30 seconds of that happening? So calling BS on a lot of that, it's just funny to see the softening language when the media supports what the people are doing versus when they don't. And Dinesh D'Souza just came out with a new film called Police State. I watched it. I left the theater. It was chilling. I don't like arguing with my friends because these are my friends or my family. I have to live with them. I don't mind arguing with you online if you want. I don't know you. That's keyboard stuff. But you don't have to argue anymore. All you got to do is show your friends and family the movie, Police State, and then say, we can have our argument after this. Give me 90 minutes of your time, and let's find out. And what they talked about in the film, one of the major parts of it was the legal system will use their full force on someone they disagree with. And then what you saw right there, it's mostly peaceful. They're just upset about what happened. You don't think the January 6th people were upset about what happened? That's what's going on, and that's why we need a little equality if we want a true judicial system. Moving right along, the Las Vegas Aces have won yet another championship. Now, the Las Vegas Aces, if you don't know, are a WNBA team. If you don't know what the WNBA is, it's women's basketball. If you didn't know women's basketball had a championship, they did. And this is the team who won. So if you're as confused as I am, that's fine. Not a lot of viewers. I bet if you went on the street and you asked 100 people, can you name a WNBA player? You might get 3 or 4 answers. We should do that Cave on the Street segment. And then if you asked them, okay, who won the last championship? I bet one would know. And then if you asked them what happened when they won the tournament, you're not going to see this anywhere else other than right here. They started twerking on the trophy. Now, I was told that women should be treated with respect. They're not objects of sexuality. They can compete just like the men. But here's how they act as soon as they win. Yay, a trophy. Take a look. Oh, get it, girl. We are humping and spanking. I want to know right now, do you recall that from any of your NBA champions? Did the Lakers do that? Have you seen that from the Pistons, the Bulls? What about the Golden State Warriors? You remember when Steph Curry kind of started grinding and humping on the... No, it has never happened. You have never seen an NBA player act like that when winning a trophy, except for Dennis Rodman. We will make one exception for Dennis. We're going to put him on the screen right there and take a look. This guy would do whatever he wanted, lived how he wanted to live. I'm going to talk to you guys right now and find out. Do you think the WNBA ladies, what they were doing was appropriate? Grinding, twerking, or should they have acted more professional? Put that in the comments. We love to hear from you. We're going to be back with a whole lot more right after this. Wall Street Journal has brought up a great point, and I want to find out if you agree. They're saying Gen Z is killing rock and roll. So how do they take rock and roll from the Hall of Fame to the Hall of Lame? We're going to talk about it right here, right now. On the screen, we have a little picture here. We'll read it to you. Wall Street Journal says, when did rock concerts become tame? Well, we can thank alcohol-free Gen Z. Conspicuous teetotaling is now prevalent at all the hot acts, confounding older partiers. This would have been alien to me back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I've noticed that myself. In fact, there was a situation where someone kind of didn't get enough water at a concert. The pop star, Conan Gray, stopped midway through the performance recently to make sure someone tended to a fan who had been partying too hard. Then he lectured the audience. You see, this is why you all need to be sober. The 24-year-old tiss-tissed the crowd, and then the Gen Zers cheered. Now, Gen Z on average drinks 20% less than millennials. They drink less than previous generations already, and mainly because of increased awareness and the dangers and effects of alcohol. Now, I am all for clean living, healthy living, but when the whole crowd goes to see a rock show, and then the person on stage is yelling at the crowd, hey, be more safe out there. And don't forget, be sure to use birth control, practice safe sex, and get to bed early. Yeah! Would that be a fun rock show for you? How come hip-hop is saying, throw money on them hoes, twerk? And rock stars are like, you need to get good grades. Well, I thought a lot about that. And if rock is going to continue to change, then we're going to see all different things in the genre. Imagine had rock always been the tisk tisk school marm type. We would not have had "We're Not Going to Take It." We would have had "We Are Going to Take It" right there on the screen. We're going to show that right there. We would have had Twisted Sister singing, "We are going to take it. Yes, we are going to take it." How about this? Lady in red? No, we would have had non-binary in red. Proper pronouns. That's right. We would not have had the proper rock song right here. You might know this band singing "Smoke on the Water." It would have changed to "Vape on the Water." Dun, 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 dun. How about this? "We Will Rock You with Consent." Very important. Or you might have had something like this. "You Give Love a Bad Pronoun." We would have had things like this. "Pour Some Stevia on Me. In the Name of Love." More importantly, this wouldn't have been a song. This would have merely been an observation. Dude looks like a lady. Perhaps she is a they. And who would have ever guessed that Shania Twain's hit song, "Man, I Feel Like a Woman," would have been a warning for things to come? Thank you for tuning in. We're going to be right back with a whole lot more. Piers Morgan got into quite the debate with someone that he couldn't understand where they were coming from. Now, I don't blame him for being confused. This woman said she's non-binary and she's married to a woman who has recently changed genders. Plus, they have a third partner and their two kids are also gender fluid and non-exclusionary. I don't know what they're saying. Maybe you could figure it out for me.
Just so I get my head around all this, it's obviously very complicated. Not to you, but it's complicated to me. So let me try and just lay this out. Explain your domestic setup. You're married, is that right?
Yes, I'm in a multi-adult family. There's three of us that are raising two children.
How would you describe it?
I'm non-binary. Yeah, I'm non-binary, which means that, you know, I don't identify as a man or a woman, and I use they, them pronouns.
Okay, and your wife or partner, is it a wife? How would you describe your other half?
All of the adults in my household identify as transgender or non-binary.
Right, and you're only married to one, or are you married to both?
Legally married to one.
Right.
In a relationship with another.
One you're legally married to, what is their name?
Bren.
Bren. And Bren identifies as?
A woman.
Uses
she, her.
And she was born a woman and remains identifying as a woman?
Yeah. She's a woman.
Okay, and who's the third member of the setup?
My partner, Luna, who uses they, them pronouns as well.
And Luna is male or female? Or?
Non-binary.
Non-binary. And, okay, but you're not married to Luna?
No.
Okay, and you have two children in the house?
Yes.
Okay, and just to clarify again, Sparrow, we don't know whether Sparrow was born male or female because you haven't said that, but Sparrow is now non-binary?
No, Sparrow is, I would say, antigender, which is a term, you know, that means before gender, like...
Let me try and get my head around this.
Obviously, they do have anatomy.
Right, yeah. So what anatomy does Sparrow have?
Well, I mean, that's something that we don't usually discuss unless it's necessary with maybe a medical professional or, you know, a caregiver.
Right, right. So,
Ari, okay. I just wonder if I can intervene here, because I think that a lot of people find this very confusing.
Yes, commonly people born with one type of anatomy will identify with one gender. People with different anatomy will identify with another. But that totally negates the fact that there are legitimately thousands of people all over the world for whom that is.
How confusing is life getting? You used to say, "Hey, you got any kids?" "Yeah, I have a son and a daughter." With this person, you need a legend, you need a map, you need an app, and you need to be able to say, "All right, now, Sparrow," like they're naming their children after animals. "Sparrow, that was a boy?" "Yes, but check the app. We updated it just 30 minutes ago. It's now a And they said, "We're not even having babies." They said, "We had babies, and we let the babies choose their gender after that." So I want to ask you, do you think children should be babies, or should they be called they-bees, and then they pick their gender whenever they're good and ready? If you're having trouble figuring out the answer to that, I want to show you a little psychological experiment they did with a child, probably around, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, and they asked the child what they wanted, which they preferred. Now, this is a very easy question for you and I, but look how the child answers, and then make your decision.
Have $10,000 cash, or, wait a minute, this two out-of-the-box Oreo cookies.
There he goes.
Huh?
Right there.
Are you sure? That's $10,000 cash. You want the Oreo cookies? Are you sure? Okay.
Absolutely. Who could blame the kid? You're watching that going, no, no. Kids are supposed to pick the cookies. Kids want to have fun. He knows. This, I don't know. Paper, I don't know if it's what this does. These, I love cookies. And that's the reason why you have to be very careful telling kids they can choose things that are going to make permanent, lifelong decisions. Now, some people call me racist, hateful, sexist, bigoted. They call me Stacy. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's a song. But I want you to make sure you know what you're doing when you're advocating for equality and happiness. Are there going to be long-term effects that you bring to little kids? We'll be back with a whole lot more of The Right Show right after this. In fun news, we have an artist who's doing art like never before. It always blows my mind when the internet has something new, because you think about it, at this age, we've kind of seen it all, but no, this artist uses paper to make sculptures like you've never seen. You're saying, Kayvon, what are you talking about? A pinata? No, even better than a pinata, if you can believe it. This guy glues paper together. He decides how many sheets he's going to need, maybe 17,000 sheets of paper, glues them all together in the middle like an accordion, and then he starts shaving them and does what he does best. Why am I even talking about it when I could just show you? Take a look.
Hi, I'm Felix Semper, and I am an artist. I am mainly focused on sculptures and on paper sculptures in particular. I've got two products right now. I've got the shoe and I got the burger. And when, you know, you look like you could eat the burger, but obviously that's when the whole thing opens up. And it's all done by hand, so that's why it could take a week, 2 weeks, depending. And, you know, the beauty is that it opens up. Paper sculptures that are created are unique because they're not glued on the outside. They're glued on the inside. It's an internal mechanism that makes it open. So the way that it's glued is, you know, you take however many sheets I think the sculpture is going to take, which is normally a sculpture like Biggie will take about 7,000 sheets. And then I will start working from that. So, you know, I'll start carving after I glue it. And, you know, I glue each sheet to a huge stack. Then I'll carve it. I'll start taking away paper with special tools that I've created to be able to work on paper. Sneakers, you know, they take the vary, depending on the complexity of the design and everything, can take from a week to 2 weeks. There's a lot of small little details, a lot of paint jobs. It's like, you know, creating.
How is that a shoe?
Know,
look at this.
2,000 sheets of paper, and you're carving it into a shoe. It's just not, you know, it's not an easy thing. Plus, I incorporate a lot of live actions, you know, a lot of real things like, you know, the shoelaces. I incorporate, you know, this, I mix medium so the eye doesn't know what's real and what's not.
Hey, bravo to Felix Semper. That is fantastic. Check out his art. Check out his videos online. The closest thing to that I ever had were the Chinese handcuffs. They probably cost 20 cents to make, and you just, once you put your fingers in, almost impossible to get out of. We need more stories like that in this world. But it's also time to show some of the bad. Now, in New York City, the rent has gone up, up, up. Never mind there was a pandemic. Never mind nobody was working. This is what $2,500 per month will get you in New York. Now, New York has had more people flee than any other state other than California. And that's because of the pandemic, the lockdowns, the masks. People going to Florida. They're going to South Carolina, Atlanta, Texas, Arizona, Nevada. But what they are still charging for rent in New York is unbelievable. I want you to take a tour, $2,500 a month, and then tell me in the comments, how does it compare to your digs?
That's it. This is the whole thing. $2,500. And this is the best I've ever seen at under 150 square feet, period.
The best you've seen.
You've got some storage up there, some more storage up here, but I don't know how you're getting to it. Recessed lighting, a separate light for this space, and I guess just enough space for like a twin mattress. So this is probably where the tenant's gonna sleep. No one said it's ideal, but if you sleep up here, then you actually have a living space down there. It's a good thing this AC has a remote. You did not want to climb down that just to change your temperature.
And you saw the oven there. You saw a little wedge of a table. You can't even chop on there, okay? There's not enough room. The sink. There's no sink in the kitchen. That means they give you everything but the kitchen sink. That used to mean like a great, this place has everything but the kitchen sink. That used to be a good thing. They say if you want to use the sink, you use the one in the bathroom. So, question over here. You meet a good-looking guy online. He invites you to his apartment, ladies. He's in Manhattan, the Big Apple. He takes you to his apartment. There's a bed in the loft. But first, he wants to make you a drink. He goes to the sink and, pshht, in the bathroom, gets some water. Or maybe rinses out a little bowl for you and starts making a salad. Do you stay in that apartment? Or do you, run for the hills. I want to hear the women's point of view on this, because every time you look for a place to stay, you start thinking, would I be a potential partner if I rented this place? Would someone see me and say, I'm ready to join a life with you? Or are they gone? Can't wait to see what you say on that one. Me personally, it's better off you just move to Texas, Florida, South Carolina, Nevada. You get a $2,500, let me tell you, three-bedroom house, yard, work from Zoom, work at a casino, work on OnlyFans. Do not put up with that in New York. Get out while you still can. Next up, we have none other than one of the hardest jobs in the world. Now, the good thing about moving to Florida, Nevada, lots of palm trees. This guy took a job as a palm tree cutter. To take down a palm tree, they want to do it in sections. They wanted him to take down the top, then the middle, then the bottom. Look how we got into it. Right here, took that. And he didn't account for the weight difference. Just swinging in the breeze. Okay. Mind you, you do a job like that, you might make $1,000 a day. Very high risk. Palm trees, they're not known to break. So let's say you could do about 20 palm trees a month, okay? Would you want to live in a tropical place, $15,000, $10,000, $15,000 every single month, and then pay $2,000 a month and do that job? Put it in the comments. Can't wait to find out. Now, this got some people in a little bit of hot water. Football season is upon us. A lot of people supporting none other than Tennessee, Chattanooga. So the team decided to get some merchandise that can kind of get people excited. And Chattanooga is a very long word. You know, you're thinking Chattanooga doesn't fit. So they went with just the N-O-O-G-A and got some feathers ruffled. Take a look.
Chattanooga baseball team pulled shirt after some fans say it looked like a racial slur. Who didn't know that? Who in marketing didn't know that that looked like Chattanooga? This one ain't that hard. And the team name is the Lookouts. But it looked like they saying lookout for the niggas in Chattanooga. They come in all different colors. But why y'all got the white boy model in the shirt? Let a real nigga market it. In a big Iowa like Chris Tucker or Tracy Ellis Ross. They got the hoodies too. And I ain't gonna lie, the hoodie kind of fresh. I'll rock that today. You know niggas love hoodies. I throw that on with a Caucasian hat and some Kyrie's and hit the Million Man March in style.
I think he should do it. You know what? I like how he was offended at first. Then he saw the hoodie, was like, that's kind of tight. He wants it. We all want it. So go get yours today before they're no longer available. The PR team at that college says, we're not selling the N-O-O-G-A shirts anymore. I hope they still do. Question for you over here. Would you be confident cheering for Chattanooga wearing your N-O-O-G-A hoodie, hat, and shirt? You might be confident in the game. Will you be confident walking to your car after? That's the test. Speaking of Chattanooga, I am going on tour, and as you can see, it's right there on my tour dates. Visit the website, k-vaughncomedy.com. You can see me in Edmonton, Canada. Put it back up there again. I'll read it. So I'll be in Hobart, Indiana, Fort Wayne, Joliet, and Huntington Beach, California. All those and more. And by the way, if your city isn't on there, feel free to just go on none other than my website, message me, and say, hey, we want a private show because you're not coming to our town and we'll work something out. Yeah, you can have a valuetainer come to you. Speaking of which, if you want to see what the comedy shows are like, I want to give you a behind-the-scenes look at stand-up. A lot of people don't see much stand-up. We just did a show right here and not long ago, and people said, this is the first show I've ever seen live. How the heck are you in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and this is the first stand-up comedy show you've ever seen live? So take a sneak peek of this one, and then get on the phone and get your tickets. And the mask thing had to end. It had to end, because I follow science. But the science started to not make sense. Where was the last place you needed the mask? The airport. You had to go in the airport, put your mask on. It didn't make sense, because when you enter the airport, you needed the mask until you got to the TSA agent. You had to take it down, prove it's you. Now he's like, all right, put it back on. Okay, put it back. Now you got to get on the plane, socially distance. That's science, socially distance, until you sit down on the plane, shoulder to shoulder with the other people. But you still have your mask, everything's okay. Until the pretzels arrive. As soon as the pretzels came, everybody lost their mind. Take the mask, now we're eating the pretzels. You eat the pretzel. This is great, you don't need a mask with the pretzels. COVID took a pretzel break. Yeah. A little bag of magic pretzels. You get six of them. Once you finish the last one, put your mask back on. Science. Oh,
sorry. Okay. All right.
I saw one dude coming from Florida all the way to California, licking each pretzel individually. He made his pretzels last. He did. He wasn't just eating the pretzel. He was... Flight attendant, sir, put your mouth... I'm still eating this one. I'm not done with it. That's how stand-up comedy works in a live setting. A lot of fun. And isn't it true we all live through that? It's almost unbelievable. Like, we just woke up. Like, did that really happen or was it a dream? We all live through arguing over masks, as I call it, mask debating. We all lived over arguing over getting on and off airplanes and are you wearing the right mask? People say, well, surgeons wear masks. Surgeons wear a mask during a surgery. If they even touch the mask, they have to throw it away, scrub in again, and start over. Surgeons did not wear the masks the way we did. You wore it in the car, then you wore it into the gym, then you took it into the bathroom with you. It fell on the floor, you put it back on inside out to keep yourself safe. Your dad borrowed the mask, went to the store, came back, handed it to your mom. We are not surgeons, and we were not in the OR. Folks, I hope you enjoyed that. We covered quite a few topics. That is the news for people who hate the news. If that's you, then be sure to click like, follow, subscribe. Be sure to be a part of what's going on here as Valuetainment presents The Right Show. We are waking America up with laughter, making it easy to consume. We are going to start bringing truth through comedy, even though no one else will. And we will see you each and every week doing it right here at The Right Show. Bye-bye. See you next time.